Welcome back to the show. We're on episode 137, and we're going to be talking about being overdue and the definition of like preterm, term, post-term, etc. Because just like a batch of cookies, when you bake a batch of cookies, the directions always say like bake for 10 to 13 minutes, right? There's a range, and your baby has a range on their bake time too. And it's usually somewhere between 37 and 42 weeks. Yet, hospital practices have lowered the average length of gestation because they are inducing almost everyone. And by intervening on when a baby is born, instead of allowing the mother's body to choose when to go into labor, which our bodies go into labor when our babies are ready, not only are we changing the average length of pregnancy, the average gestational age of when a baby is being born, it's also causing a shift in birth weights of babies. And this can have public health consequences. Low birth weight has been linked to poorer long-term health and lower educational attainment. This is actually from a study that came out in 2020. So in this episode, I kind of briefly say like that the hospital doesn't see the benefits of staying pregnant longer, but there are benefits of staying pregnant as long as your baby needs, whatever that length is. There are benefits to staying pregnant, and that has everything to do with physiology. So when you get inside of Unmedicated Academy, that is the first thing you learn is birth, how birth was meant to happen, how we can support physiology, what a physiologic birth looks like, because the hospital birth is not how birth was created, is not how birth looks when we leave birth alone. All right, but for today, we're going to talk about being overdue and are you really overdue and why so many moms are being induced. All right, let's get to the episode. This is not your average birth podcast because you are not the average mom. Welcome to Unapologetically Unmedicated. I'm your host, Fierce Lizzie, and I am unapologetic when it comes to normal, physiologic, unmedicated birth. I want you to have your best birth because I know that an empowered birth leads to an empowered motherhood. If you want to be the boss of your birth and do birth your way, it's time to get informed, educated, and empowered. Okay, we need to talk about this because I feel like everybody uses the term overdue, like, oh, I'm overdue. This is my due date. And we really need to know what the definition is. Like, what are you, like, do you know what you're saying when you're saying overdue? So we're going to talk about that. What the actual definition of the actual term, even the term ACOG uses, is post-term. It's not necessarily overdue. So let's talk about that. And if you don't know, I just threw out ACOG. ACOG is the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecology. They pretty much have guidelines for that, like typically all the practicing obstetricians as well as hospital midwives kind of follow ACOG guidelines. Although midwives have their own kind of body of colleagues that makes different rules, the American College of Nurse Midwives. But when we talk about hospital birth, they pretty much run by ACOG guidelines. So I love always looking at what ACOG says, because a lot of times ACOG will be more on the side of physiology than what some practicing obstetricians are actually saying to moms in real life, which is kind of unfortunate, but you can use some of that information to get informed, some information that ACOG uses. So that's a nice little trick I have up my sleeve that I teach to my academy moms. So before we jump into the definition of like term and what term is, like, let's talk about baking cookies. My daughter made some sourdough chocolate chip cookies last night, benefits of having a 10-year-old. And they were really good. They came out really good. They came out really puffy because they had sourdough starter in them. And my son, what did he say? He's like, oh, these are juicy cookies. They were so fluffy. But when you bake cookies, it is always a range of time that you put it in the oven. Every single recipe. It's not put it in for 10 minutes. It's not put it in for exactly 12 and 3/4 minutes. It's not that. It's not that at all. It is always put it in the oven for 10 to 12, 10 to 15. These cookies were 15 to 17 minutes. And here's the crazy thing is you could use the same recipe and it could be different. They could need another minute longer one day that they didn't need the other day. Maybe it has to do with how cold it is in your house, how cold the dough is. Maybe it has to do with the ratio of wet to dry. Maybe that egg was a little bigger than that other egg last time, right? So even the same recipe made in the same oven, made by the same hands, can vary by 30 to, I don't know, 120 seconds on how long they need to be baked. And the same is true for our pregnancies, that every pregnancy is different and every mom is different in how long that baby needs to bake. Yet here we are living and dying by our 40-week due date. I try to say yes date all the time, but then sometimes moms don't know what I'm talking about. They're like, what's a yes date? Because our society is like due date, 40 weeks. Like, oh my gosh, you're overdue, right? Here we are coming back to these words. So let's define what term means. So term is 40 weeks, basically. So like that's the average length of a pregnancy is 40 weeks, right? So term means you're at 40 weeks. So we also have all of these other words with the word term in it, right? So we have preterm, which means you are before 37 weeks. So you're less than 37 weeks. That's preterm. It's like when we say preterm labor, that means you're 36 weeks or earlier. That's preterm. Then we have early term. Early term is 37 weeks and 38 weeks. So like you're still not quite to term, but this is called early term versus like preterm, because preterm, there's more risks, right? With preterm babies, we want the babies to stay in and bake as long as possible. Not to say that a baby can be born at 36 and 5 and everything is fine. There's no NICU stay. That was just that baby's length of time, right? But these are just kind of general guidelines. Full term is 40 weeks, right? The definition I'm looking at also says 39, week 39 or 40 is full term. So like you've baked full term, you're 40 weeks. I mean, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean you're going to go into labor then, right? Which we're going to talk about that in a second. Late term is week 41, like 41. And then once you hit 42 and you go beyond 42, you're post term. So actually it's not the term overdue. It has no place in our, that's not even a word that we should be using to describe pregnancy. It's post dates. And you're not post dates or post term until 42 weeks. So why the heck are we worried about moms going past their due date? Like here we are being so obsessed. Oh, I'm overdue. Oh, I'm overdue. Oh my gosh, my due date came and went and I'm still pregnant. Yeah, that was the middle, the average. A bunch of moms, half of moms are going to go past their 40 weeks, right? And that's actually, it's going to be more than half of moms is what I'm going to get to in a second. But yet, we're inducing everybody. Just because they hit 40 weeks, we're inducing everyone because they're 39 weeks. So actually, not more than half of moms are going past that, because 98% of moms are having their babies in the hospital where they're being induced. We don't even have a true sample of what due dates when babies are born, because we mess with it so much. Like a hospital could be like, oh, well, all my babies are born by this date. We don't have anyone that goes to 42 weeks. That's absurd. I have never seen a mom go to 42 weeks. That is so dangerous. Like, of course you've never seen a mom go to 42 weeks, because you induce everyone before that. So it's not even a good picture of what birth looks like when we look at the medical model. But let's see what ACOG says. So I pulled up ACOG, has like a, just like a FAQ page that it's not meant for providers. It's actually meant for moms to look at. But it says on there, what is post-term pregnancy? And their definition lines up. It says the average length of pregnancy is 40 weeks or 280 days counted from the first day of your LMP, last menstrual period. A pregnancy that lasts 41 weeks up to 42 weeks is called late term. A pregnancy that lasts longer than 42 weeks is called post term, just like I said. Yet, late term is considered too late, even though it's still term. Like, this is where the disconnect is. And we can also talk about that LMP. Well, hold on, I'll get to that in a second. I also want to say that a friend of mine. Oh, hold on. ACOG also said this. I'm sorry. I did not make good notes for today. ACOG also says, I thought this was interesting, what causes a post-term pregnancy? The causes are unknown. This is so funny. Like, we don't know physiology. We don't know why cookies sometimes take 17. They just do, okay? The causes of post-term pregnancy are unknown, but there are several factors that may increase your chances of having a post-term pregnancy. Okay, are you ready for this? These are the factors. This is your first baby, which we kind of know that. I think that one's pretty common, that a lot of people typically will say like, oh, well, it's the first baby. Like, we always wait longer on the first baby, like expect to go past your due date. So your first baby is a factor. You are carrying a male baby. So half of pregnant women are going to go post dates just because they have a boy baby, which is just so interesting. I don't know. I'm not sure why. You've had a prior post-term pregnancy. So I think this one's really important to highlight here is I see this a lot with the women I work with as well. If you typically go into labor early term, you're going to go into labor early term again. And same with post-term. So like I have had clients who never make it to 40 weeks. Like they just have shorter gestational periods. And then I have moms who always go past 40 weeks. Now, the mom, there are many women who come to me and say, I was induced at 42 weeks with my first and my second, and I don't really want to be induced again. Like, what can I do? Like, you're going to have to wait past 42 weeks because that is how long your body wants to be pregnant. So we do see, I know I started off saying you could have the same cookies, the same way, the same oven, the same everything, and it could be different, but it also is true. And this would be true with the cookies too, that like, if you kept a lot of those things the same, it would be very similar, right? Like, ooh, I always have to go to the second. I always have to go a minute over with my oven. The same is true with women that typically carry longer. They typically do. Like I always give birth in the 41st week. The only one I didn't with my middle son, I didn't have a good date because my cycle was all messed up because I had just come off of hormonal birth control. So I think I was pregnant with him 2 weeks sooner than I thought I was. That's a whole story. So he was born right at 40 weeks and the girls were 41 and change. Even my third baby, even though they say, oh, you know, it's supposed to get shorter every time. That is not true whatsoever. Okay. Now, a friend of mine also said, she told me her midwife, she was birthing at a birthing center. Her midwife said that the average length of pregnancy at their birth center, okay, where they don't do inductions, the average length of pregnancy was 41 and a half weeks. And that's not just first-time moms. These are a wide variety of moms, a wide sample size. I don't know how big the sample size is, but many, 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 many moms, right? And they said the average was 41 and a half weeks. Yet in the hospital, they want to induce you at 39 weeks. They want to induce you, if not at 39, at 40, if not at 40, at 41. They do not want you going to 42, even though this birth center said the average was 41 and a half weeks, meaning so many moms did go to 42 weeks. So all of this to say, due dates are guesses. This is why we call them guess dates. And there is a lot of research on this, actually. Almost everyone, including like, you know, doctors, midwives, online due date calculators, they use something called Negley's rule. And Negley's rule, so if you use any sort of calculator, assumes that you have a 28-day menstrual cycle and that you ovulated exactly on day 14. So if you have a cycle that's different than that, your due date is wrong. It is a bad guess, right? So that is why we're supposed to give this wide range, right? That's why there's early term, term, late term, post term, because every baby bakes a little differently. So all of this to say that do not take your due date as a due date. Take it as a guess date, add 2 weeks before and 2 weeks after, and assume that anywhere in between there is going to be normal. Now, inducing for due dates is really controversial because going over 40 weeks is not a high-risk situation. It's just normal. It's just physiology. So inducing just because a mom is 40 weeks is not technically a medical reason to induce. So this is a elective induction. It is not medically necessary. It is unnecessary, right? But the problem is, well, there's a lot of problems, but providers see the risk of you being pregnant as a higher risk than the risks of induction. It's as simple as that. Now, we like to compare the home birth to the hospital birth, right? This is one way that I help my clients to see kind of what's normal and like not feel like, because what happens in the hospital is you ask for something and they're like, no, you're crazy, right? Well, it's not crazy when we see moms having home births doing it. And so if we look at the home birth, a lot of moms, quote unquote, risk out at 42 weeks. So does that mean you're really high risk if you're at 42 weeks? So first of all, that's all the way at 42, right? And the hospital's not even wanting you to go to 42. So boom, there, right there. Like there's nothing wrong with going to 42. But I also want to add in that the only reason you risk out of home birth at 42 weeks, the only reason is because the state, the government has put their hands all over women and birth, and they put those regulations on the midwives. This is why we have midwives operating outside of the system. We have unlicensed midwives helping moms so that they can actually support moms without influence from the government. Because every mom is different. Because there are plenty of moms who will go past 42 weeks and safely have a physiologic birth with no risk. So the only reason in the home birth's eyes you're considered risky after 42 weeks is because of the medicalized birth system and the government putting rules and regulations on midwives. And we talked about evidence last episode, right? And I talked about how we don't need evidence to know that how physiology works. Like we just need to watch birth to see how it works. We don't need to run studies and tests and monitor, right? That is not physiology. That is not birth. So in fact, a lot of the evidence we can't really trust because it's done in a setting that doesn't support physiology. So that's not actually birth, right? And we talked about this in the last episode. So a lot of times in the medical model, when you're getting past 40 weeks, you're 41, you're 42, the doctor will say, you know, oh, this is one of the risks, right? The risk of stillbirth goes up. Also, your baby's getting bigger. And we know doctors are terrified of a big baby. So there is evidence to support that. There is evidence that shows that the risk of stillbirth goes up, that the risk of big baby goes up, right? But you can find evidence basically for anything you want to find evidence for. There is another study. It's called the Hannah Post-Term Study. They found that waiting for labor to start spontaneously after 41 weeks did increase the risk of cesarean. So this is another one that they'll scare unmedicated birth moms with. like, I know you want to have a vaginal birth, right? Well, we better induce you because your risk of cesarean will go up. So if it's not stillbirth, it's cesarean, you know, pick the thing they want to scare you with, whatever is going to have you agree to doing birth their way, right? Instead of your way. But so this study found that the risk of cesarean does go up when only when women need an induction for medical reasons, but it did not go up when we wait past 41 weeks for labor to start. The risk of cesarean did not go up for women who let labor start on its own, women who were low risk. Okay. So again, you can find evidence to go either way. And really, like I said in the last episode, I don't need the evidence. I trust that my body that I take care of, that I've taken radical responsibility of, is going to birth my baby just fine. And I'm listening to my intuition, and my intuition is telling me that I just bake babies longer and I don't want to be induced. And my preference matters. Maternal satisfaction matters. And we don't have to give the disclaimer of, well, as long as baby is safe and as long as I stay low risk. Like, no, duh. No one is going to keep a baby more safe than that baby's mother. We don't have to put that disclaimer on. That disclaimer makes me so mad. So, why are so many women being induced for just being at their due dates? Well, we've said a lot of reasons already. The ARRIVE trial is one reason. So providers believe there are no risks to induction and there are no benefits to staying pregnant any longer. So they want to induce everyone. And the ARRIVE trial kind of gave them permission to do that. Now, the ARRIVE trial only applies to first-time moms who are low risk. Yet, I see doctors, so many OBs, applying this to third-time moms, applying this to if you're high risk, if you have any sort of risk, they want to induce you as well. Like, they just want to induce everyone. So the ARRIVE trial, big fat red flag, big fat evidence that is not strong evidence. And in fact, the American College of Nurse Midwives did put out a letter saying that the ARRIVE trial has a lot of flaws. This is the episode I need to do for you still. It has a lot of flaws, okay? Another reason so many women are being induced is they don't know their options because they're not told anything other than, well, we're going to induce you now that you're 40 weeks. And they're like, okay, you know, you're the expert. You've supported so many women giving birth. Like, you've seen so much birth. You know so much more than me. That's the typical mom. That is what the hospital is seeing. So you have to remember that when you go in and you say, no, I don't want to be induced, they're not used to hearing that. A lot of providers will just schedule your induction without even talking to you because they do not hear moms wanting options and wanting opinions. In fact, this is the best outcome of getting informed. My Academy moms, the moms who go through my program, who start advocating and asking questions and communicating with their care team in their prenatal care, are treated better from that day forward. And all of a sudden they have options. All of a sudden they are being heard. Now, this is not always. This is with a good provider, right? Or at least a respectful provider. It's not always going to happen that way. But like, you will not regret getting informed and knowing your options. And it's very unlikely that you are getting all of the options presented to you. If you are getting all of the options presented to you, all the options are not given a fair shot. So even women who know they don't want an induction, those women are, so this is another reason that so many are being induced, right? I'm still listing through reasons so many moms are being induced. Women who even don't want inductions, know they don't want an induction, know that due dates is not a good reason to induce, they are still induced because they are coerced and they are manipulated when they are the most pregnant, the most tired, the most overwhelmed, the most emotional. And even though they walked in saying, I don't want to be induced for my due date, now they're being told all of these different reasons why they need to be induced and they don't know the truth. They don't know what is a good reason and what isn't. So I would say, I don't know what the induction rate is. I don't know. If we look it up on the internet, it's just like the epidural rate. I don't believe it. I think it's higher than what the internet says. I think if I went to a park and asked 10 moms, I think, let's include myself. I think one other mom at that park would say labor started spontaneously. I just hear, I hear so many conversations at the park of moms going in to their induction. And I can't save them all. So forward this episode to a mom who needs to hear this, okay? So if you want to unapologetically support physiology, you want to know the evidence, but you want to also know how to advocate without people pleasing, right? I'm tapping into last week's episode. You want to know what the red flags are. You want to know what a valid reason to induce is and what a not reason to induce is. Or if you just want to know what the actual risks and benefits are, you want to know not just how to spot the red flags, but how to deal with them when they show up, not if they show up, when they show up. I'm telling you, let's start preparing now. I get so many questions in my DMs. I'm 39 weeks. I'm 40 weeks. I cannot help you once your induction is scheduled already. We need to start this work sooner. Okay. I am enrolling July and August guest dates right now. So DM me your enrollment questions over at Fierce Lizzie or at Unapologetically Unmedicated. Or you can head to my website, fiercelizzie.com/academy for more information on what you get when you enroll inside of Unmedicated Academy. If you enjoyed this episode, I know you're going to love my birth program. Unmedicated Academy is a comprehensive birth education that is not only going to have you feeling prepared, educated, and confident for your birth, but you'll also walk away knowing all of your options, all of your birthrights, and have killer advocacy skills so that you hold the power in your birth. The podcast is just a little taste of what you'll get inside the program. Are you ready to go all in? You can learn more about Unmedicated Academy at fiercelizzie.com/academy.